A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. Jews are Greeks, slaves are free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot would say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you, and also with you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, a disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher, and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I tell you in the dark, tell in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim from the rooftops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. Even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. And whoever denies me before others, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the world. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. The Gospel of Christ.
Well, thank you. It's lovely to be here. Thank you for having me again. Originally, I know I was here April 30th, and then I was originally going to be here again June 11th, but that was the only date that Padre John Wilcox could be with you to supply, so we swapped it around, and I got today again, and lo and behold, it's Pride Sunday. I'm grateful for Reverend Derwin for lending me his beautiful rainbow stole this morning. It's not only colors of the rainbow, it kind of reminds me of Margaret and I were talking earlier, pieces of a puzzle that kind of all fit together too. And I am particularly grateful to be able to speak on Pride Sunday. I've not had the opportunity to do that before. Not always been in a church that might have been welcoming to do that, right? I suspect that the people of this parish are probably among the most educated and well-informed when it comes to 2SLGTBQIA+. Because I've listened to Derwin's Pride Sunday sermons from 2021 and 2022, which were amazing. And as I was preparing for this Sunday, I was thinking, well, how can I layer onto that? What can I add to that? Because I can only offer my thoughts as a cisgendered straight female priest. because that's who I am. And while I consider myself an ally of the 2SLGBTQIA+ community, I cannot speak to the experiences of those in that community or their families, as Derwin has. No more than I can speak to the experiences of Black people, even if I'm an ally of Black Lives Matter. No more than I can speak to the experiences of our Indigenous brothers and sisters, even if I stand with them as an ally. I am a straight person of white privilege. And I have had to understand and recognize the systemic biases that I have grown up with and to wrestle with these things as a Christian. I have found myself in some interesting discussions, debates sometimes, arguments, with others of white privilege who questioned or still question the necessity of having events or movements, right, such as Pride or Black Lives Matter or National Indigenous Day. Don't we all matter? We hear that question, right? Why do these people have to be so noisy, be so demonstrative, be so in my white privileged face? Well, if we privileged few had had to grow up being completely disenfranchised, judged, hated, castigated, derided, condemned, ostracized, patronized, denied opportunities, basic rights, seen as less than, I doubt that question would ever arise. Because the fact of the matter is, sadly, that's the way it's been for far too long for various groups. And there is a lot of progress yet to be made when we talk about equity. And that's what it truly boils down to, equity. That's why we need movements and parades and events. Well, what is equity? How does that apply? It's not the same as equality. Well, both are important. Equality is providing the same to all, such as equal treatment by government. Equity means that we recognize that we don't all start from the same place. And we have to acknowledge that and make adjustments to imbalances. It's about leveling the playing field until such time that we don't have to anymore. Until such time that we are all viewed as valuable and accepted for who we are in here. A simple example of equity would be wheelchair ramps, right? Enabling those who rely on wheels for mobility, the capacity to go up or down a curb, access a building, climb stairs. Folks who can walk on two legs and go up and down a curb, climb stairs, access any building, no longer have an advantage, whether it's to get around or just be out and about in the world as a social being or being able to hang on to a job. The playing field's been leveled. And that's what, right, we've heard the words affirmative action, that's what those things are for. That's what having policy in the workplace is about diversity is all about, helping to promote perfectly capable but disenfranchised persons have the same opportunities. Equity. The same goes for pride events or celebrations. When you've been a closeted or community forced underground for decades, centuries, you kind of have to be in people's face to say, hey, we're human beings too. We deserve what you deserve. To live a meaningful life, demanding equity in order to be treated with equality, so that you can go into the washroom that's appropriate for you as a trans person, so you can sign up, join the military, and not have to participate under the guise of don't ask, don't tell, so you can live your life as the person you were created to be, regardless of your orientation. love the persons you love, regardless of your or their orientation. So you can be in a healthy, committed, monogamous relationship, even through marriage. I saw a brilliant cartoon explaining equity once, and Margaret helped me after this morning service earlier to expand on it because I hadn't remembered it fully. So thank you, Margaret. But it's a cartoon where you've got a bunch of people, and you fill in the blanks if I miss something, where you've got a bunch of people standing behind a fence, right, to look over the other side. And some people can see over just fine. There are people of all different heights. And some people obviously cannot see over the fence. So with equality, everybody gets the same size box, right, to help raise them up to see. And, well, some can see even better. Some can just see over the fence, and some still can't see over the fence. They're still too short. In the next frame, you see the fence with all the people of different heights, and everybody's got a different size box, just what they need to help them look over the fence. And that box is labeled equity. I think that's a brilliant explanation. You'd think that we've made progress and it's not such a big issue anymore about accepting others. And in fact, I know I'm probably speaking to the choir, so to speak, on this subject, but honestly, have you seen the news lately? Homophobia and transphobia are not just problems over there in some third world, more conservative culture. Look what's going on in Texas. A state with one of the largest trans communities in the U.S. and gender-affirming treatment for trans youth is now banned, is being pulled away, ripped from them. And it's happening in 16 other states there as well. It's tragic. It seems that we're actually moving backwards. As followers of Jesus Christ, as a people of God, working to create the kingdom of God here on earth, what we're asked by our God is pretty straightforward. God lifts us up through his love, and we are to lift up others through that love too. In John's Gospel, chapter 15, we hear, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Love one another. We're talking about the Greek word agape here, which often translated as brotherly love, the concept, but it's also like the highest form of love, the love of God for humanity and humanity for God. And in this passage, it's used in the context of to welcome, to love dearly, to be fond of, to be full of goodwill toward one another. And I would add that perhaps it should also imply honor, respect, and acceptance. For we are all children of God, who loves us beyond all measure, for who we are intrinsically in here. As any parent would love their child that they've created, their beloved children. In Corinthians today, 1 Corinthians, we have that wonderful analogy about the body, right? The body of Christ, of which we are all members. And the passage acknowledges all of the variety that we bring to the body of Christ. Each and every human being and their gifts. We're not only, you know, different parts of one body, we're all pieces of a giant puzzle, a puzzle of humanity. And we need all of the pieces to complete the big picture, which is God's creation, because he created us all in his image, and God loves his creation. He was very satisfied with it. We hear in Genesis, God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. Indeed, that's like underscoring. If we as children of God profess to love our Creator, and if we as children of God profess to follow in the way of love and equity and acceptance taught and demonstrated to us by God Himself as the Son, Jesus Christ, we cannot pick and choose who is worthy of our love or to judge others as less than. You know, a number of years ago, I picked up a secondhand guitar, another guitar, and it came with a case that was just covered all over in stickers, and it was a real mishmash, right, of different pictures and stuff and sayings, and I peeled them all off to clean it up, except for one. I had to leave one, and it said, "God loves everyone, no exceptions." And God does love everyone, no exceptions. I admit, it's way harder for us to love everyone, right? Especially today. And when everyone seems to be so polarized on so many different issues, it's really difficult not to be upset. I don't even want to turn the news on anymore. I struggle with this quite a bit. And the thing that I've had to sort out and that I constantly have to work on is that I may not agree with someone's point of view, I may not even like them very much for a variety of reasons, but I am commanded to love them. And the only way to love others is to try to understand them better. Because we often respond to people not like us or with different points of view, right, out of fear. And our fear is usually grounded in ignorance because there is a lack of familiarity. We have to be willing to be in relationship with one another. We were created to be in relationship with one another, to get to know and understand one another, to respect and honor each other. You don't have to like them, and sometimes we have to agree to disagree, but it's not enough to make an uninformed opinion or judgment. Because when we do that, we're caught up in baseless judgment, even hate. I remember having a discussion with a really senior parishioner. This is a number of years ago, and he's since passed away. And he was a lovely man. He was he was one of the patriarchs, founders of our parish. But he was very upset about the gay issue. Not just that there were gay people, but that gay people would start coming to church. And he said, "Why can't they just go to a church of their own?" And I realized he was of a certain generation and he probably had no experience with people in that community. And I'd hate to think if I had to explain the entire spectrum to him, because it just wasn't all there as we see, understand it today at that time. I'm sure that his perspective arose from a place of fear. The queer community was so outside of his experience, and gay Christians, who knew, right? But ghettoizing and segregating other communities, yeah, you do your thing, just stay out of sight so you're out of my mind. When we do that in fear and ignorance, ghettoizing, segregation, it's not a pretty thing. It's not a godly thing. And for us to be godly and followers of Jesus Christ, it's imperative that we put aside any fear. Do what He commanded us to do. Build relationship and love one another. We are all children of God, created and beloved of God. We're all part of the family. We are all parts of the one body of Christ. And we all deserve a seat at the table. Amen.